Comair, the operator of Kulula Airlines and British Airways, has reported a profit in its annual results. That's despite a challenging year for the operator. In the 12 months ended June, the company reported headline earnings per share up 184% to 197.2 cents. This was bolstered largely by South African Airways settlement paid to Comair following an anti-competition judgment, which ruled that the national carrier should compensate Comair with 1.1 billion rand plus interest. Profit before taxation, excluding the SAA settlement, actually declined by 82% from 471 million rand in the year prior to 86 million rand. Shareholders are set to get a dividend of 18 cents per ordinary share. Well, to give us a sense of what's been happening behind the numbers, I'm joined on the line by Kirsten King. She's the financial director at Comair. Thank you very much for joining us, Kirsten. On the demand side, what was the story with passenger growth, and did that assist in the 9% revenue increase that you've reported, or was that more a factor of price increases?
Transport was actually a combination of both. So 4% came out of increase in passenger volumes and 3% in the average fare. And then the balance is due to ancillary and non-airline revenue.
So apart from the boon afforded to you by the SAA fine, it sounds like the operational environment was tough in the year under review.
No, definitely. So you know, despite having an absolute record revenue performance, it was quite disappointing that we had to kind of give it all away in terms of fuel and currency and the fleet issues that we've had with both maintenance and, of course, the grounding of the MAX. So all of those have really, resulted in an extremely challenging environment. But despite that, we still managed to deliver a profit. So I think that's something to be proud of.
Yes, and shareholders got a little something.
Yes. So in terms of the SAA, or in terms of return to shareholders, that SAA award has been, you know, the whole claim has been going on for the last 15 years odd. So it's really gratifying to be able to deliver something back to shareholders. That dividend was calculated as our sort of target 1/3 of normalized earnings, so to speak, so excluding the SAA award, and then 1/3 of what we've actually received in cash to date relating to the claim.
Right. And have you received all of the fine money from South African Airways?
No, so there is an amount outstanding that will be received over, there's a settlement term period and it's repayable over 3 years with the final payment in July 2022, I think it is.
Right.
So it will come in installments.
So we understand that there have been challenges with the aircraft maintenance scheduling with SAA Technical. How did that impact your operations, and is that on the mend yet?
Yeah, so that's mostly impacted us actually in the first half of the financial year. And SAA Technical has actually done a lot of work to remedy a number of those issues. There were planning issues and inventory issues, and they have actually remediated those. But nevertheless, it did cost us quite substantially in the form of, you know, we're having to send aircraft overseas now for heavy maintenance just to, you know, to give to release a bit of capacity constraint on SAAT. And, of course, that necessitates, you know, we've got a 21-aircraft schedule, and, you know, you've got to have enough aircraft to fly that schedule. So what lands up happening is you have to enter into these short-term ad hoc leases, which do come at a premium.
Sure, that's crazy. I'm trying to imagine having to send my Audi to Germany for it to be fixed up. It's very expensive indeed. So you're currently saddled with one of the two Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft that you bought from Boeing, and obviously they've been banned from flight for now. What's the situation there? Any chance that you can send those aircraft back and get your money back?
No, those purchase agreements are quite tight. But, you know, despite that, we've still got confidence in the equipment type itself. We're going to wait for the manufacturer, for Boeing, to recertify the equipment. We have confidence that they will get it recertified together with the various authorities around the world, the FAA and the European authorities, and, of course, the South African Civil Aviation. So as soon as those aircraft are recertified, we've got one that is here grounded in South Africa, and then a second one that is parked in Seattle at a Boeing facility. So those two aircraft, you know, as soon as it's recertified, we will begin operating them.
Hmm.
But yes, it has certainly come with substantial costs because we've got a really expensive piece of equipment that's grounded and isn't generating revenue. But of course, we are incurring the costs, the finance costs and the various maintenance costs, etc.
Sure, that's hard.
In terms of return to service date, we don't know. We know about as much as you do or anybody else does. There is talk of potentially, you know, and these are really just hearsay, that potentially the equipment might be recertified in later this year, and potentially a return to service thereafter, sort of December, January next year. But that remains to be seen.
Hmm. So you're basically saying there's no opportunity for you guys to have any recourse in this matter, given the fact that this is not your fault?
So there will be an opportunity for compensation, we have opened those conversations with Boeing. Boeing has also disclosed, you know, that they have set aside certain funds for compensation to clients and customers.
Mm-hmm.
In relation to this whole debacle. But what will happen is nothing's going to happen until such time as the aircraft is actually returned to service.
Yes.
So we don't know, you know, whilst, you know, Boeing is talking about a claim, we don't know what the quantum of that number will ultimately be or when it will actually be paid out. So, of course, we haven't accrued for that in any of our figures, and we won't be able to until there's certainty around that.
Kirsten, let's fast forward to today. I mean, with all that's gone down in Saudi Arabia, it means an elevated oil price. Do you have hedging strategies in place should the price of jet fuel also escalate?
So we don't actually hedge on fuel. We do have a natural hedge because a lot of our fuel price is affected by both exchange rate and the dollar price of oil.
Yes.
The combination of the two. So from an exchange rate perspective, we do have a natural hedge in place as about one third of our revenue is actually generated in hard currency. On the Brent side, so on the oil side, we're not hedged on that position.
Okay, I hear you. So given all these factors and what we're seeing in the local economy, what's the outlook for the current financial year?
Yes, I think we've got another challenging year ahead. There's a lot of excess capacity in the market, especially in the low-cost carrier markets, so where Kalula operates. With Sapphire and Mango, and I think we're going to continue to see that. So I don't know that we will necessarily generate the same revenue increases. Hopefully we can at least keep revenue stable in that environment. Cost-wise, we've got to just keep trying to extract efficiencies wherever we can in terms of new technology from the aircraft. So if the MAX comes online, that will be absolutely fantastic because, you know, we can get a lot of fuel consumption savings.
Yes.
Out of that particular type of equipment. And then just seeing where else we can extract various efficiencies in terms of technology and better ways of doing things. And then, of course, the non-airline business or the diversification strategy will continue to we'll continue to focus on that because it does deliver higher margins. It's far less capital intensive than an airline. And, of course, it's not subject to the same volatility. So the more we can grow that business, the better we will mitigate some of the airline risk.
That was Kirsten King. She's financial director at Comair.